حضرت مولانا گنگوئی صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ invited to come over to Allahabad, and he excused himself saying that there are two of my seniors that are lying there, have passed away. And as you have it, the grave of a saintly person is sort of bid'at. Someone is making sajda, someone is asking of the grave. So I'm going to go there, and perhaps he's going to support the bid'at that they are doing. So therefore I excuse myself. Generally, it was the style of our elders that they avoid areas of confusion, areas of dispute, areas of controversy. At the time of Tahajjud, one of the du'as that Nabi Sallam would recite before commencing the Tahajjud, apart from Inna fi khalqis samawati wal ard, one du'a was Allahumma Rabba Jibreel وميكائيل وإسرافيل فاطر السماوات والأرض عالم الغيب والشهادة أنت تحكم بين عبادك فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون then اهدني لمختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. So the last part of the dua is that in all the confusion, the dispute, the controversies that are around, guide me to the straight. Sometimes the differences are such that people can't understand. And sometimes each person feels that I know it. So you get a situation where every person feels that I know it, and you get a situation where they are so confused that they don't know. They can't decide right from wrong. See, the old way was people had committed themselves to one senior person, whatever he said, and they would move on. But they moved on from that to reading. Reading is good, but is not conclusive and is not sufficient in most cases. Because after reading, people make up their own minds. Today there was an email. It's a lady teacher. Whatever subjects she's teaching, English or maths, whatever Allah knows. So, it would seem like it's a mixed up class. She's teaching boys and she's teaching girls. For some time, the boy was teaching or tutoring her daughters. This male student was tutoring the teacher's daughters until he came to his senses, or perhaps he came of age. When he came of age, then he excused himself that now I have to observe parda from your daughters. So excuse me from this service. So she turned around, see, abundance of information and not knowing how to apply the information. What's wrong if you teach my girl one-on-one? What's wrong? Because you see, the two girls were in a position and her Musa alayhi salam had helped them. So like how Musa alayhi salam had those two girls and helped my daughter. So now I have to give an answer straight away. Said your analysis of the situation is not right. Because in the story of Musa alayhi salam, it was a situation of desperation. And they explained themselves that one is La nasqi hatta yusdira ria. We were not getting into contact with men. and you're exposing your daughters with a personal contact. Now you're teaching, so you have to be one-on-one for teaching them. Right? And Musa alayhi salam's story, those girls didn't want to be mixed up with boys at all. They kept away. Hatta yuzdir ria. The shepherds have watered the animals and they have returned. Now they're going to fetch water. See that? And Musa alayhi salam, he only asked them, what's your problem? Right? That's all he asked them. He realized that this was the problem. So there was no further contact. From that point onwards, he just watered the animal, he took out the water, drew out the water, and allowed them to help themselves. So is your reasoning right? Right? Number two is this, that in that story of Musa alayhi salam, it was a case of desperation. If they're not going to have the water, then the animals, their flocks are going to be suffering. And there's no other alternative. Because Abuna Shaykhun Kabir, the only male is the father, and he's not in a position of coming to water the animals. Here it's totally different, and there is totally different. Here it's a question of desperation. Either we come out of the house, otherwise the whole house will die just now. So it's a case of desperation. Case of desperation, and Musa alayhi salam is keeping himself at a distance. Number two is Musa alayhi salam is a Nabi. And Nabi has got an immunity against wrong. He doesn't commit sins pre-Nubuwat nor post-Nubuwat. And on your side, you cannot say it's a case of desperation. When you want this boy to teach your daughters, then is it a case of desperation? No? They must matriculate, they must become doctors, they must come like this, they must become that. So it's not about desperation. It's about maintaining a lifestyle, maintaining a status. You know my child, she's a doctor, she's like this, she's that. So it's a lifestyle. Number two, are you immune and your children are the immune of guna and shaitanic wasawis? He was immune for the immunity from Allah Ta'ala. Are you at that level? But now you see what happens. There is an abundance of information, but that information is not applied right. And the reason why it's not applied right is because there's no proper tutoring, no proper guidance. She hasn't digested it herself correctly, so she will not know how to apply it. So you need someone to understand, digest, and thereafter be able to be in a position of applying. Just having that information is insufficient. Our Mustafa Rahmatullah will not appreciate this, that any student can just apply the verse of the Quran Sharif as per his discretion. What a verse of the Quran is applying. Are you in the position of applying the verse? Do you know what is the reason of revelation, where it was, how it's supposed to be applied? Do you know all that? Now you don't know all this information and you just want to take the Quran Sharif and apply it. What a dangerous thing it is. One person was playing some music. Arab, and he's playing music. So the Hajis that are accompanying him, so he switch off the music. What is this haram? So straight away he quoted the verse of the Quran, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. See that? La tansa nasibaka minad dunya. Your share of the worldly comforts, enjoy it. Simple translation, enjoy that. See that? Straight away go to the Quran Sharif and apply it. Are you in a position to understand, digest, and then apply? Now, this for the verse, La tansa nasibaka minad dunya. One person is talking about a mixed gathering, sitting together, men, women, all that. No segregation, integrated. So someone in a splinter by it's not right. So he says, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَأْكُلُوا جَمِيعًا أَوْ أَشْتَاتًا. See that? لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَأْكُلُوا جَمِيعًا أَوْ أَشْتَاتًا. Not a guna whether you sit alone or whether you sit together. See how they play it. So, all these things boil down to this one thing, that people felt that education is a substitute for righteous, being righteous, being on the track. So, the information is one thing, and number two is then how do you apply the information? Information, digest, and then be in a position to understand the application. And if you didn't, then be humble enough to go and find out how it is applied. So now we don't want to do that. Don't want to take the steps. But then this wrong is applicable to non-ulama as well as ulama. Because nobody is to find out. They got a group, this class group, that class group. Or I can teach this kitab here, I know this thing here, I know the hadith. So I'm in a position of applying it myself. I don't need to refer to anybody. To Islam ka kya hoga? I remember now, in the times of you in India, 70s, right? But the level of humility was something else. Bashiril Mukhbitin. The Quran Sharif is giving a glad tidings, a message of hope to who? So Mukhbit Ikhbat generally refers to the person who is humble. See, when you're humble, then things open out to you. But you're not humble, not in that position, then learn humility first. Then you can absorb. See that humility is like the soil condition. If the soil condition is right, then the growth will be right. But now you're not looking at the soil condition and you're complaining that this is not producing anything. So it's not producing anything. Why? Because the soil condition is not right. So improve the soil condition and then it will show the production. But you don't want to go through that procedure, you're going to waste. The knowledge is going to be wasted. You got the information, you didn't take the trouble to go and find out how it is applied, where it's supposed to be applied. So our Zunganadi, they would be firm on the truth, but they would avoid trouble as well. Controversies, troubles, arguments, disputes. Like how you got these groups now, class group and Molana group, Fana group. And then the person that is a little bit more eloquent, then he called the shots. Whatever he says, it goes. He's eloquent, he can prove himself, so many hadiths he's got, let's go with him. But did they go and verify, go and check up, find out from the elder how it's applied, is it right, not right? Now see, I'm sure they know Arabic, and they're applying. فَاتَنْسَ نَسِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And see what he's doing. And this one here is saying, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاهٌ أَن تَأْكُلُوا جَمِيعًا أَوْ أَشْتَاتًا. Everything, anything, any application, and it's going, it's moving. Now you go and find out how it's applied, where it's applied, how it's supposed to be applied. In Darul Dioban, the first masjid was the Chhatta Masjid, where everything sprung up from. In the earlier days, they had that anar tree, pomegranate tree, and they say that this is where the Prophet Muhammad started. I don't know if it's still there or it's wiped out. Allah knows best. Some of the people have seen the tree where the madrasa had started off. Right? So now it's the beginning, so that's the masjid. And now it's the month of Ramadan and it is a Jummah and it is the last Jummah. Now some old people will remember that in the old days, now 60s, early 70s, the last Jummah was a long Jummah khutbah. Al-Wida, Ya Ramadan, Al-Wida. Remember? Don't remember. Long khutbah. Farewell to you, O Ramadan. Farewell. You will be crying. giving the farewell message. Now, one visiting person came into Dioban, and he requested Maulana Yaqub Sahib, who was the Sheikh of Hadith, and like the senior person in the madrasa, that if I could deliver the khutbah. So Maulana's man, very broad-hearted, right? He wants to have the opportunity of giving the khutbah. Let him have it. Why make a story about it? Right, Juma, midsummer, temperatures are going 40 over 40 degrees. And those that have seen the Chatta Masjid, then maybe that day when we were there, so say approximately one third was covered and two thirds was open, right? So the Masjid is choked, Juma, midsummer, and the last Ramadan, right? Addition of that. And this person is winding his khutbah. 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes. The more Gangway Sabraham says, see, now the khutbah is enough. Now get down, start the namaz. So that person now starts shouting, look at this Wahhabi. He doesn't know that when the khutbah is going, he's not supposed to be talking. So Mawla is very firm. It's a mountain of knowledge. Shah Sahib, when he talk about the Mawla Gangway Sabraham, so he is surpassed even Allama Shami. Shah Sahib, his mutala is very great, very great. And for him to make the statement, something that this man he has surpassed, gone too far ahead. So Mawla is very first, very firm. When he will speak, when he knows what he's saying is 100%, he won't take a chance. So Mawla says, see, talking about Wahhabi and all these things here, what is supposed to be done is pull you by the ear and drop you down from the member. If you made a noise, it stopped the khutbah, mass is finished. Immediately after the faraz, Mawla left the masjid. Straight away he's gone home. And now this person is waiting to have a confrontation. Where is that Wahhabi? I want to fix him up now. Now, Mawla knew, he expected this to happen, so he's gone. Right. But what did Mawla do? He avoided a confrontation, teaching us by don't get into a confrontation, don't get into a fight. At that time, the noise had to be made. If the noise wasn't made, you see a situation, and I see a situation, in the heat, sweltering heat, you got people there, someone's fainted. Someone's pressure went down, went up, someone got some other health complication. What are you going to do? Who's going to fix all that up? So the easiest thing was just stop that imam straight away. But stop now. You know, Juma nobody can avoid. You have to read the Juma namaz. Is there any alternative? No other alternative. If there's an alternative, we should have gone to some other masjid. But now you already there, the midst of the khutbah, are you going to leave? So the right thing was just to stop him straight away. See that? But then after the khutbah, after the namaz, was gone. He's making a noise, but he's making a noise too. So the walls was finished. So to correct it and to avoid a confrontation. Now, this is a point where people are confused, mixed up. See the verse of the Quran Sharif says, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةَ لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. Just guard yourself against that punishment. Fitna got different explanations. One explanation is punishment. One is the avenues that will lead you to sin. Avenues that will lead you to azab. The one is azab. What is imtihan? So there's different meanings of fitna. So avoid a punishment that may not affect only the perpetrators, but what is you perpetrated the wrong, and because you had committed a wrong, therefore the azab was inflicted on you. But this is such a problem that you will not only inflict the person that is committing the wrong. The people that are not wrong also, they can also get implicated. The one that is wrong, he's going to be a victim. But the person that was not wrong, he can also be implicated. So now the ulama kiram are writing on this. Okay, then what is that situation where the person that is not wrong, he can also be affected by the punishment written, right? So two things I've spoken of basically. One is where you are in a position to bring a correction and you remain silent. Right now, recently I've been talking about parda, right? Parda issues. Everywhere where you get a chance to do this. Because our people have become so complacent with it now, it happened now, each day now, don't break family relationship, let them meet, talk. Then one thing leads to the other. Parda issues have been compromised. Eid is just once in a year. Now, you're looking at businesses, then the man has got he's got his personal secretary. Now, they both in an office, right? Now, can you secure yourself against the whispers of shaitan? Can you secure yourself? Can't. Whether it's a non-Muslim, whether it is white, whether it is black, whether it's whatever, but you got your secretary sitting with you in an office. Can you secure yourself against the whispers of shaitan? How many, in the day, how many thoughts may be running through your mind? What can happen to you? And now it's even worse, nowadays, you hear personal encounters, you know. And now, the women are making advances. Man is out, and the women are making advances. So how secure you need to be, how careful you need to be. See that? Sparda things, right? Sometimes it is a professional person. Now they want to get the girls educated, right? Let's not talk about the wrong in getting the girls educated, but see now the aftermath, what happens after that. Now the cases that came to me, right? Youngsters now, talk about 8-10 years ago, so that was even less, but now it's on the rise. As the youngsters are coming, so they're talking about going to a doctor, going to a dentist, etc. So now the doctor is inspecting the patient, however he's inspecting. It's a female doctor. For whatever reason, they have to go to a female. Allah knows why. Maybe the parent took them to the female doctor for whatever reason. But the boy is about 18, 7 or 16. He's come of maturity, right? And the doctor that is seeing the patient is pressing the patient against her chest. Tight. Trying to do something but pressing. Now she's not married and she's young. Did she have any business to press the patient against the chest? Now then you'll ask, what was wrong in the profession? The wrong in the profession was the profession is generally cut out. It's cut out for what? To conform to a lifestyle, not to need. One is, alright, desperation. Musa alayhi salam and the two girls, right? Desperation. Nobody to burn the fires in the house. Otherwise the whole house will die, collapse. Here is just to maintain and support a lifestyle. Because you go and ask those doctors, their parents, all that. Ultra wealthy, they're wealthy enough. But now, how are they going to maintain a lifestyle? Each one needs 70,000, 80,000 to run a home. So now how are they going to do it? They need to run the home, they need to have the money. They need to have the money, then they need to do this type of things. But in the meanwhile, they're studying, right? When they're studying, they're postponing the marriage. Because if they're going to study whilst they are getting married, while they're married, then the studies will be affected. Alright. So they postpone the marriage because of the studies. But can you postpone your temptations? Can you see those temptations? Just sit down now. Relax. Will pick you up after some time. Can you say that? Can't say that. That temptation is with you. And when you are with that patient alone, then the temptation is even more serious. It's even more serious. No, I must have that lifestyle. Izzat can go, the shame can go, bihayai can come in. It's alright, but we must support that lifestyle. See the wrongs. Now in Arab countries, what's going on now, presently, Arab countries, so they're encouraging the girl to go and study, right, and learn. So now they learned a little bit, 1-2 degrees, 3-4 years they study in university, now they're getting jobs. As they're getting jobs paid out in 1,000, 50,000, 60,000 dirhams, right, dirhams. That's about 5-6 times stronger than the rand, right. So they're getting 60,000, 70,000 a month, multiplied by 4 or 5, how much you get? Over 250,000, isn't it? Now, these girls in turn don't see the need to get married because you got the money now. why must we be under a man? See, previously they got married, the thought was that we need to be under a man, right? Take the guidance and run our lives under a rijal qawwamun. But now, when they financially so secure and strong, was there a need now for them to be subservient to a man? Was there a need? But now you see the aftermath of this secular education, what happens to the person. So the whole mind is eaten up by figures. Get that money and be secure. Deen can go, respect can go, shame and modesty can go, everything can go, but we must make that money. So that's now consume the mind. You know, when Hadith speaks about when Amar bil Ma'ruf, you, under certain circumstances you can be forgiven, absolved. So one of the things is person becomes subservient to his nafs. He becomes subservient. Three things I've mentioned. One is ijab nafsi, and one is to become subservient to your nafs, to your temptations. Right. So now, the driving thing in their lives is the nafs. They call it lifestyle, all that, right? But what is the meaning of lifestyle? Temptation. Temptation, pleasure, comforts, that's the meaning of lifestyle. So when a person becomes subservient to this thing here, is his deen safe? Is that safe? Now then, from this point onwards, what you're going to be seeing is how to make it seem to be permissible. See now how this woman brought this story of Musa alayhi salam. Another woman is talking about, no, it's permissible. Why is it permissible for a woman to go out and do business? But Khadija did business, radiallahu anha, right? See that, straight away, their minds are running. Minds are running. Now, Khadija radiallahu anha, she was just a Rabbul Mal, and Rasulullah Paksam was the Mudarib. He was doing the trade. She was at home, not married, and Rasulullah Paksam was the agent doing, conducting the business. So where did she leave the home? See that. Well, now, if you just get some information and just apply it to your situation to appease yourself and justify. So, this is where the world is going. No senior, no seniority, no respect for seniority. So, this must happen. Now, the problem is then, when there's no respect for the seniority and you applying your own mind, now, what's going to happen to the generation after you, your children, what's going to happen to them? Then it won't be surprising that someone getting married to a Hindu or a Christian, whatever, because you went free, your mind was open, right? Then you applied yourself, now they'll become even more free than you. So have you got any security? And their concern was something else. Their concern was deen. Without protect the deen, without fitna, no confrontation, no dispute, no argument, nothing. But just protect the deen. See, Hazrat Mawlana Ganguly Sahib caught it straight and he walked out of the situation straight away. No dispute, no fighting. But he showed what was right. What was right, he remained firm and he moved out of the situation straight away. Then you look at Hazrat Mawlana's seniors, if I remember correctly, Mawlana Abdul Ghani Sahib or Shah Muhammad Yaqub Sahib, one of the two. So there is a dispute about a land, right? So they had to go to court. Now, remember the time is now, it's a time the Muslim rule over India has just ended, but the English has taken on, right? When the English took on now, right? So, at that time, most of the judges, magistrates were Muslims, because Muslim, and then moved on to the English, right? So now, they had to get those places all filled up. And they don't have sufficient manpower to run those things here. So those that were the qazis and magistrates and judges, so they occupied those positions. Right? Now, when they occupied those positions, right? So, Shaykh Mohd Yaqub Sahib has got a land claim. It's a dispute. He won the case. So the judge is a Muslim. So he says, you see, la riba, بين الحربي والمسلم في دار الحرب, right? So you can reclaim with interest because لا ريبا بين الحربي والمسلم في دار الحرب. But look at Murana's answer. So Murana could have claimed about 5 million. How much? 5 million he could have claimed. He says, see, that Masla, I know about it. Now, when I'm going to go out of this courtroom with this ruling, that I want that riba, I want that 5 million, right? What's going to happen? That word will go out in the public that Maulana has taken riba. And where have I got the time and the chance to go to everybody, show them Shami, show them Hidayah, etc., Alamgiri, show them, see, this Masla, this is how it applies. All they will say is that Maulana now has taken riba, and riba has been legalized. So won't I cause a disarray to the whole structure of deen? Now, riba is a serious thing. Prophet Muhammad Rahmatullah used to say, the first Mufti of Darul Deoband, Mufti Azizur Rahman Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, right? He was the first Mufti. He, Ma Shabir Sahib, Usmani, all our brothers. So he was the first Mufti of Darul Deoband. He says, when people are talking about the legalizing of riba, somehow make a loophole, make a plan, make it work, right? Like you see, even today, right? He says, he was a great saint in his time. He was performing, leading a namaz one day. In Deoband, reading the namaz, and I'm showing you that his the state of his mind. He's reading As-Sama'i wa Tariq, and he came to the verse Yawma Tubala Sarair, right? When the secrets of the house, the secrets of the heart will be thrown out, what? Day of Qiyamah, and the secrets, most discreet things in the heart will all be thrown out, right? This is Maulana ki cheekhe nikal gayi. He burst out in crying. The people in the masjid, right, they didn't understand, but the profound effect is that they fell unconscious. Can you see now what was his state, his spirituality? Now he's talking about people talking about legalizing interest, right? Whichever way, but I ask you, does it bring a level of confusion in the masses or not? You will not talk about the Masla itself, but when you're going on this route, will you bring about a level of confusion in the people? So now, C is concerned. He says, where am I going to take Hidayah Sharif, Alamgiri, Shami, take it to the people and say, no, see this Masla, this is how it applies. Where can I do all that? So, all they will say is, Maulana has legalized riba. Now, what's the better thing to secure the deen? To just practice this Masla, yeah? Or just to keep it undercover and just carry on? And people will say, no, Maulana, he was very strict. He didn't talk about riba. He just threw it off. See their style, what their style was. Avoid controversy and avoid any type of dent to come onto the structure of deen. Any confusion, any dent. Alright, he suffered a loss. 5 mil. That zamana was a big thing, right? He suffered a loss materially. But I ask you, wasn't that a great, great contribution to the beauty and to the structure of deen? Shaykh Ishaq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he had seen a dream that the Mubarak body of Rasulullah SAW was in the Chandi Chowk, like a very busy street in Delhi, right? And people are trampling over it, carrying on. Understood the meaning of the dream, that now people are going to be trampling over the Sharia, trespassing, trampling over the Sharia, and they're all going to be concerned. So he said, now I must make hijrah to Medina Munawwara, and he left. So he wrote a letter to his student that was living somewhere near Ajmer, right? Now, the route to Makkah was through this Ajmer. We're talking now 2.5 centuries ago. But now, 2.5 centuries, that the whole demographics of India was different. So, he's leaving and he has to pass through Ajmer in order to go to Karachi, the port, board the ship, and carry on to Makkah, Mukarramah. So he says, see, my intention is to leave India to make hijrah to Makkah Mukarrama. And I am coming this way, and it's not going to be possible for me not to visit the grave of Hazrat Shah Mu'inuddin Kashmir Chishti Rahmatullah Alayh. So the student wrote back, Hazrat, please don't come on this way, because now I'm speaking about the hadith, La Tashuddu Rihal. Don't you travel towards any other place beside the three masjids in the hadith, right? So I'm speaking on this, and I'm condemning this practice that happens at the graveyard of the saints, right? I have this explained at the beginning. I'm making sajda, someone is asking, someone is doing whatever. I'm condemning this practice here, so don't come this way. Because if you're going to come here, come this way, you're going to support and endorse their practice. So now, what is in keeping with the security of deen? Allowing this, like I said, you know, looking at the structure of the deen, there may be some loophole someone can find for girls to go to university, right? But in order to preserve the structure of deen, what's the safer route to? To look out for the loophole, or to prevent them from coming? You know, the stats are showing that at least about 95% of the girls that are going to high school or to university, they're going through some terrible experience. So that's, and then the qaida is when the wrongs outweigh the good, right? The situation, maybe it's permissible, right? But the wrongs in the aftermath is greater than the good, then it will give a ruling of impermissibility. Now see, 95% is going like this. Every girl is going through an experience, right? Now, so we still say, you know, encourage them. Then that person either doesn't understand fiqh, doesn't have the understanding of deen, or he's ignoring facts. One of the two is happening, either ignoring the facts, or this is happening. As you know, to make one doctor, right, you have to sacrifice 100 girls. I say, is it making sense? Deeny sense, business sense, making. 100 girls have to go through the whole procedure for one to become doctor, so that a female doctor can attend to females. Is it making business sense, making deeny sense? You got non-Muslim woman doctors. So now Muslim must check on a Muslim. Alright. Then if Muslim must check on a Muslim, then what you must do is make the tashkil, encourage women to become mamas, because you want Muslims to attend to Muslims, right? So then why do you have non-Muslims attending to your woman in the house? Is that the reasoning right? See, the reasoning is completely off. Yes, no money here or that. So the matlab is money, right? Lifestyle. Again, it's a lifestyle. It's not providing a service. It is a lifestyle. So here we come back to the Ishaq Sahib, showing now, what was the take of our elders when there was this type of circumstance? What did they do? So Ishaq Sahib wrote back to his student, no, I will come through this route here, and I command is my instruction, that when I am there for the Jummah, in that whole audience, you must say that this is wrong, right? If this is wrong, and I don't know what's wrong with my senior, that he's also coming to this mazar, right? And I'll stand up and say, what you're saying is 100%, I've made a serious mistake. See, now this is called protection of deen. That you're not looking at your personal convenience, the whole masliyat is eating up in your deen. One person just went to Afghanistan and he came back. He said, give me a report, right? But I liked that one answer. So I asked him before he could leave, that you go and find out from them, what forced you people to attend the Shia funeral? So he gave me a lengthy explanation, right? Whatever reason it was. But at the end, this person, the last closing statement, I like that statement. The last statement that the person was in a ministerial position, he says, we are deeply ashamed and remorseful for attending this. Although it was a genuine need, right? We had to go. I need some other time I can explain that. But we are very deeply remorseful and ashamed for attending this. And in no way did we attend the namaz. But you see that now this line here, that we are deeply ashamed and remorseful for attending, This is the reason, I feel, my personal understanding, for the delay of the madad of Allah Ta'ala coming to the ummah. We are looking at why things are not happening as swift as we would like to. But did you see what's the cause for that madad, that special assistance of Allah Ta'ala not reaching you? It's because we're going on a line of justifying, going on a line to make things seem permissible. When you're going on a line to make things seem permissible, then you think Allah Pak is blind. Allah Pak doesn't know about it. You're trying to work out a plan, thinking that Allah Pak doesn't know about it. Allah Pak doesn't know in your heart, what's in your heart. So the ummah has to learn what it is. And just a cursory glance, I'm looking at the Quran Sharif, there's about four stories of the Anbiya alayhi salam, and none of them comes to defend their cause. If Allah Pak speaks about them, addresses the fact about something, some discrepancy, nobody comes to try and defend himself. Adam alayhi salam story, where Shaitan had whispered that مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا أَنْ هَذِي الشَّجَرَ إِلَّا أَنْ تَكُونَا مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَا مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. Allah Pak has stopped you. Why? You'll become malaika. Therefore he stopped you. إِلَّا أَنْ تَكُونَا مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَا مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ, or you'll be permanent residents in Jannah, right? But now Allah Pak stopped you then because you were in an infant state. You just come in. You were just created. When you were created then your system could not manage the tree. But now you've grown up, well built, now your system will enjoy it. Right? And over and above, you will have the blessings of being in the proximity of Allah Ta'ala all the time. Now this was the catalyst for Adam alayhi salam to eat, that I must be in the divine proximity. Now you look at it, was that temptation? Was it influenced by temptation? Not influenced. It was influenced by love. I'll get this, and I will get a permanent proximity of Allah Ta'ala. I won't be moved out. Who doesn't want that? Do you want to be separated from your father, from your mother? You know it's a fact that's going to happen. But can you imagine now, hey, one day I'll be separated? Can you think? You want to think like that? You don't want to think like that. Because the bond is so great. The muhabbat is so great. So now, then try and understand what was the muhabbat between Allah Ta'ala, between Adam alayhi salam and Allah Ta'ala. Was it easy for him now to have a separation? Say, hey, I just press this button here and I'll be in the proximity of Allah Ta'ala all the time. And added to that, qasamahuma, he took oaths in the names of Allah Ta'ala that I'm wishing well for you. At that time, Adam alayhi salam couldn't understand that person can take the name of Allah Ta'ala for a false oath, to take a false oath in the name of Allah. He couldn't understand that. It was beyond him. He's new now, so he can't understand that. They say, you know, Mullah Jeevan, right of Nur Anwar, right? So, let him see what the Hukumat is doing. They're planning to make a bridge over your house. So you'd rather do something. Like it was like it was like an impossible thing. Yeah, he's going to do that. So he took the story. He believed the story. Now you will not say he was a simpleton, but he could not understand that anybody would take a false oath. He couldn't understand that. See, that his mind was so pure, and he's so good and pure that his mind could not comprehend that any person can take a false oath in it. So Adam alayhi salam could not understand that any person can take a false oath in the name of Allah Ta'ala. See the one story. When it's brought to his attention, then he says, Rabbana salamna. Alam anhakuma an hadhihi shajara. Did I not stop you? Did he come to his defense? Allah Ta'ala, you know, it was a mistake in my reasoning. And you know, al-mujtahidu iza ijtahada fa'asaba falahu ajran wa in akhta'a falahu ajrun wahid. But you know, one sawab is rewarded. His promise one reward. Did he say that? Did he bring that to his defense? Then what did he do? Rabbana zalamna. Admission of guilt and istighfar. Admission of guilt. Then you see the same narrative carried on in the lifestyle of Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam, Now Allah Pak tells him, Nur Islam advises his brother, his son, right? Irkam ma'ana wa la takum ma'al kafirin. Come with us, come with the kafirs. She's a clear note. Come with us and don't be with the kafirs. This again is carried out in the Quran. La takunu kalladhina kafaru. Quran Sharif. La takunu kalladhina qalu sami'na. So see, don't be even like the kafirs. One is the association and one is being like them. Now, there's so much of emphasis not to be with them. Not to be. La tarkanu ila alladhina zalam. Don't even incline. And rukun means meilanun yasiyun. Just a slight deviation. Not even a slight deviation towards God. They're having Christmas, whatever birthday, whatever day. Right? So you don't incline towards them slightly as well. So what's wrong in a padel tournament, padel tennis now? What's wrong? There's so many, it's loaded with wrong. It's loaded with wrong. One is now start off with a single, then double, and then obviously you must get a triple of that. There's a single to a double. Then natija kya hoga? Salis to aayi jayega. What will happen? Will happen. Then number two is Nabi Sam is discouraging any type of other activity after Isha. Samaran. All these things, when did they happen? Number four is this. The amount of complaints that you get from the neighborhood, there's such a big noise, right at 10, 11 o'clock at night. And we can't do anything because it's all influential people that are doing all these things. We can't tell them anything. Because they got everything under control. They got police, everything under control. So we can't complain. But we know we are suffering. So, khayrukum, khayrukum lijari. So how many things of the Sharia are being trampled? So no. Number five is that woman was supposed to be at home. That's her place. Now, she neglected her children to go and do these things here. Right. Can you see how many wrongs are? Right? Number six is now, last week there was a question that somewhere, I can't remember the place now, where the Witbank somewhere, there was a motor car accident, four people passed away. If I remember. Remember? Which town is that? I can't remember the town now. Right. So, four people passed away there, instantly in an accident. Now they want to have a Pedal tournament, and the contribution must go up for the Isa al-Islam for these people. Yes. All the time you should have about Khatam, all that, alright. Right. Now it's gone to a different level, they're paying a Pedal tournament, and the contribution must go towards this thing here. Where are they taking it? This in itself is not right. Then contributing towards is not right. Then the remuneration is not right. Because the ijara itself is fasid. Is that a proper legal ijara? Ask yourself, is that an ijara? You're playing, I'm going to pay you for playing. So that ijara, that contract, that contract, is that the right contract? Is that contract right? So no, that person there has got a beard and all that, and he's playing, and he's getting paid, so what's wrong there? That person doesn't make up the Sharia. The Quran makes up the Sharia, the Hadith, then the consensus of ulama-i kiram. Anybody said that ijara is right. Ijara itself is corrupt, is wrong. When it's wrong, then whatever is going to come out of it, is it going to be halal? When it's not going to be halal, then how can you give that as an Isa al-Sawab? Because you can say Isa al-Guna, you can say. No Isa al-Sawab for that. How can you say Isa al-Sawab? Now see how the mind goes. What they supposed to karne ki baat hai thi, so karte nahi. One bet they're paying 15,000. One game each person is paying about 500 rand. Now so many people are suffering. The money is not spent on that. And this type of vanity you're spending the money. And nobody is bringing it to their attention. And I say sometimes in the business, sometimes in professionals, sometimes in sports. Kardagi thing is just going off fashion. And nobody is in a state of mind to accept that this is wrong and not supposed to be doing this. Woman's place was the house. Karna fi biyutikunna. Not all these things, yeah? So, Nuh alayhi salam is advising his son. And he's saying, Sa'avi ila jabal, yasimuni. I'll go to the mountain, that thing will save me. Today, nothing will work. Just the command of Allah. You listen to Allah, it will work. But you move away, it can't work. No matter where you are. Now, Nuh alayhi salam, his son drowned. Kana min al-mughraqin. When he drowned, he's pleading, Inna abni min ahli. My child, my household. Fasluk fiha min kullin zawjain isnain wa ahlak. Because Allah's promise was, you can embark, right, from every creature a pair, and your household. So he says, Inna abni min ahli. My son is my household. Laysa min ahli. So, by Allah Ta'ala, that household is not counted as a household when you're not conforming. Laysa min ahli. Whoever, most pious child, pious son's child, but there's no consistency, no conformity, is not of your household. Laysa min ahli. Innahu amalun ghayru salih. He's not consistent. So he's not of your family. A'izuka an takuna min al-jahilin. I'm advising you that you don't make this type of dua. So, Nuh alayhi salam didn't come to his defense saying, Allah Ta'ala, you know, I meant good. I didn't have any evil intentions. So, don't count it as a sin. He didn't come to his defense. Immediately what he says, A'uzubika an as'alaka ma laysa li bi'in illa taghfir li wa tarhamni akum min al. If you don't forgive me, I'll be lost. I'll be perished. Gone. See that. Adam alayhi salam, then as though Nuh alayhi salam is the Adam al-Sani, second Adam. Then again you carry on. Musa alayhi salam, again the same thing, that same, you know, so the narrative is the same. Musa alayhi salam, any Nabi's makeup is like this, Amr bil Maruf, that is the makeup of a Nabi, and defending the cause of justice is the makeup of the Nabi. Defending the cause, looking after the weak, like he looked after those girls, looking after the weak, that is the very cause, this is the very makeup of a Nabi. So now, he saw the Israelite being smashed down by an Egyptian. When he saw this, so he came to the rescue. Because you know that these people are oppressed. So to save the oppressed, to work for them, that was the work of a Nabi. You look at any Nabi and that was his work. To look after the oppressed, the weak, etc. So he came to the rescue. Rescuing him, in the process, man died. He's got no intention. But when he realized, did he say Allah Ta'ala in his defense, you know, I meant good. I meant to save the cause of justice. Did he say that? He said, no. Rabbi, inni zalamtu nafsi faghfirli. Straight to what he says, zalamtu nafsi faghfirli. Can you see that? Look at the words. Just marvel at the words. I'm sure three anbiya, zalamtu nafsi faghfirli. I've wronged, so do forgive me. فَلَنْ أَكُونَ زَهِيرًا لِلْمُجْلِمِينَ. I'll never be an accomplice, I'll never be a support to a zalim, I'll never do that again. But you see how he's doing it. Did he ever use one word to support his stance, to try and justify? Now that became the style in this day, that you're doing the wrong, and I need to justify it in somehow or the other, as though you're trying to say that if people accept my story, Allah will accept it. That's what we are saying. But are they the judge? Or Allah is the judge? See the three anbiya. And this is, my heart says, that this is the cause for the delay of the help of Allah Ta'ala. We're doing the wrong, and then we're justifying it. Now, is there any way that you're going to make tawbah? Trying to justify, no, this is right, that is right, that is right, missing out with girls, right, don't break up family ties and all that, or somehow to justify the thing. Now, it's not enough time, but just conclude with an hadith, right? Taraka nafsahu ala salasin. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he committed himself to three things. To three things he committed himself. One is tarkul mira. You'll never see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dispute, in a fight, in a quarrel, arguing, no. Miles away, thousands, millions of miles away from a dispute, quarrel, fight, argument, debate. That was not the style of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now look at these groups, social groups and all that. What are they doing? Are they on that line? Are they on that line? Taraka nafsa wala tarkil mila. One is no dispute, no fight, no argument, nothing. That was the style of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But at least have that understanding that this was the style of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No arguments, no fights, no disputes, no quarreling, no debates. I keep away from that. We're going to talk about the sunnah. Then these are the core sunnah. The core sunnah, we leave it out. And the other sunnah, what is a little bit enjoyable, then you want to practice the thing. Looks nice. Number two, the second one was, he left out pride, arrogance, attitude. Now, you know, my rights, don't you ever tramp my toes. I'll fix you up. Mira, he left out. Pride, arrogance, attitude. My rights. He's broken my rights. What he thinks of himself. You know who he's playing with. Me. See that? So Mira, he left out. Pride, arrogance, attitude. So my ego was hurt. So I'll fix him. I'll keep a distance. Why? My ego. Now, was that the style of Rasulullah s.a.w.? Or when he came to Makkah Mukarramah, said, La tasriba alaykum. No. Everything is forgotten, forgiven. Did he say, La yuldawu al-mu'minu min juhrin wahidin marratin? Did he say that at that time? Everything. Abu Sufyan, how many times he did? Fought against the Nabi s.a.w. in Uhud, etc. Everything. But everything is forgotten. And then, not only that, but you need to have a heart, by he says, Man dakhala dar Abi Sufyan fa wa amin. Gave a status straight away. See that? Away from fights and disputes, away from arrogance, attitude, ego. That was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For Allah Pak sake, bring that sunnah into your life. Small little thing now, fight, keep a distance, don't talk to the person, keep away from him, eat day, no eat day, but keep away. But I say, is that in keeping? These people that are writing this hadith, they went through millions of hadith and they come with this three. Tadaka nafsahu ala salasin. And the third thing was, ma la ya'ni. Thing doesn't concern. How much of our time, waste of time, by. I don't say don't do it, but now, how much of time you just go and clean the car, wash the car. Shiny, shiny. You read Quran Sharif today, how much of zikr you made today, how much of tilawat you made today, you get a mark with jamaat today. That is the karma to shine. But you see, priorities all mixed up. So, taraka nafsahu ala salah, just go with this three.